Hello again. This is Rugged the Dragon, and we are in the Dirk Boyd podcast. Again, tentative title. It's a furry podcast where we talk about different subjects every once in a while. So today's episode three, we are going to be talking about how we got into the furry fandom along with other stories we like to share. So again, my name is Rugged the Dragon. You just call me Rugged for short because it's easier. If you ever want to submit any kind of responses to these episodes, if I ask questions regarding that, you can go on my Twitter, which is at Rugged the Dragon, all in one word. You can also attend my Discord server as well. All of these links will be within the episode descriptions. I need to do that. I forgot to do that. As well as any kind of information that you want to know, it's also on my Twitter. So you can reach me any way possible. So without further ado, we are going to discuss this episode. So like I said, it would be nice to have somebody else to talk to in regards to these conversations. Would be very nice. One person talking the whole time, maybe two people talking the whole time, maybe somebody coming into the discussion really quickly to offer their opinions and then coming out. That could be risky, but who knows? But once I establish myself and we can get people who are interested in talking on these live streams, it would be very amazing if we can actually get that going. So let's start off. How did I get into the furry fandom in the first place? Well, it kind of evolved in the very beginning when I was a kid, right? I always watched Disney films, cartoon Disney films, because every single one of those cartoons had anthropomorphized animals, right? Always walking on two legs, dressing up as common folk, you know, doing all the things that we do. Music, interactions, you know, all that stuff. You know, I can't really describe it at the top of my head right now. Like movies like Robin Hood or The Great Mouse Detective, right? Even if they're not exactly normal sized people, they could still make a living. I think one of my favorites growing up was, you got American Tale, you know, the movie with Fievel, you know, the Russian family going to America in the early 1900s. Good history, by the way. That's how I kind of got into history, but it's a little off topic. And like all of these like movies, they greatly inspired me to say, you know what? It's really awesome that you can have a world where it's not just normal, boring humans. You can actually have some more variety. You'll have people that look like cats, foxes, dogs, anything else, right? But then I didn't really discover one type of species until later on. I believe the first kind of dragon I've ever seen in a cartoon, one of my favorite cartoons, by the way, was a movie called The Sword in the Stone, which, you know, it's about a kid named Wart, who basically he's not treated very well, and they find out later on that there's a sword in a stone that can't be pulled by normal means. If you want to pull the sword from the stone, and if you are chosen, you are going to be king of all of England, right? So this kid, basically, a little spoiler alert for an old movie, apologize ahead of time, he pulls the sword. And they realize he is the true king. And what's his name? Arthur, right? Now, during this movie, about in the middle of it, maybe a little bit after that, Merlin, the wizard, has a wizard's duel where they have to use their magic to outwit the other. And part of this whole thing is turning into different animals, right? So the rule was no purple dragons or something like that, right? That's too overpowered. Madame Mim, who was the opponent, she cheated every step of the way. She became a dragon, and he goes, what the? And she goes, did I say no purple dragons? And she was a pink one, so she kind of bent the rules there. That's the first time I've ever seen a dragon. I didn't think much of it. Also, in my chat, I will respond to it as well, because this is also recorded on Twitch. So, Trendum just said, hi, and I say, hi back. But yeah, Trendum, if you are in here and you see the title, tell me, in a safe for work type of storytelling, how did you get into the furry fandom, if you are in the furry fandom, and what kind of other stories did you have along the way? So anyway, dragons. Now, the first time I've ever considered myself to be obsessed was much later on, around the mid-90s or so. I recall a movie being released. And it was called Dragonheart. For those who don't know what it is, it's a movie with Dennis Quaid, who basically has this squire, right? And he gets mortally wounded by accident. So he goes to a dragon and says, "Hey, look, this kid's dying. We need a part of your heart to keep him alive." But this means tying the two together in terms of feeling pain and all that, right? So, kid becomes corrupt. The guy blames the dragon for it, right? So he goes and hunts all of them. And many years later, he finds the last one, voiced by Sir Sean Connery, may he rest. But the movie was so amazing to me back then. The design of the character Draco, the dragon, truly, truly amazing. Even back then, the movie looks quite ridiculously good for a 90s movie of all things, right? And the ending, I'm not going to spoil the ending, but I was so like emotional at the end, right? So then it began my quest to find other dragon designs out there. So every single time in school, middle school, I would always go on the internet. Funny story about that. I didn't know what the internet was back in the 90s. I remember our school was getting it. We got these new computers, and our principal said that we're going to get the internet. Everyone's like, "Oh my God, oh my God." And I'm like, what's the internet? What is this thing? And then I quickly realized how good it was. So I went online and found all these dragon designs, right? And I'm like, "Oh, these look so cool. Look at this one. Oh my God, I love it," you know? And I was obsessed. So Trendum, you got into the furry fandom because of your boyfriend. Ah, okay, okay. You know, that usually happens. I know one of my best friends, Stardust Lily. I call her Stardust Lily or Banana Fanana Slug or whatever. I remember she was an artist as well. She was more into My Little Pony as well. But then I kind of told her about the furry fandom. And she doesn't admit that she's a furry. I kind of tease her saying, "Aha, I think I've converted you." But, you know, she says she's not a furry. She doesn't identify it. But she likes to draw my character, her character, and a bunch of other things, right? She's a great artist, by the way. She's drawn many things for me before. We know each other personally. She's a great friend, by the way. I love her to death. So, but yeah, maybe one day she might say, she'll come out and saying, "I'm a furry now, you know, because, you know, thanks to me." But yeah, usually other people will get you interested. They'll tell you about it, and they'll be like, and you'll be like, "Huh, interesting. This is a interesting cohesive group that you've got here. Let me do a little bit more research," which I really do need to one day, but I think it'd be better with a group. But people keep telling me about a furry movie that I should watch, and it's called The Fandom, right? For those who don't know, I'm going to give them a little shout out. But I've been listening to a Spotify podcast called From the Muzzle, right? And there's one of the people that talks on there, his name is Space. And they mentioned that documentary. I think it was from Ash Coyote, right? I really need to watch that, but I want to watch it with a group. Because I have this weird thing where if I watch it by myself, I feel left out, right? If I had a group of them watching it with me, and all sharing our experiences and our opinions and all that, I think it would be a lot better because then I would feel more happy, right? Whereas compared to watching it alone, I feel more left out, right? Because I don't really attend that many cons. I don't have a suit, right? I'm afraid to get one because A, it's expensive. B, I'm afraid of not knowing who's going to be there or being alone, that kind of thing. So it's kind of interesting how that goes. But in the chat, you talking about my friend coming out of nowhere with a drawing of her fursona. She has a character. She has redesigned it, but she used to have a copper dragon, and now it's a mixture. I'm sorry if I don't remember off the top of my head. It's a mixture of different animals put together now. I like the character design. You know, I don't change my character design at all, right? But she has a character. She's had changed it. And we've had artwork together, by the way. So it's really neat to actually see that. It's on my Fur Affinity, by the way. if you ever see that character from Stardust Lily or Banana Fanana Slug, you'll see a couple of pictures. But anyway, going back, so Dragonheart. So then I started my obsession with dragons. Later on, I decided to read a book series called Dragonlance. And those are really good fantasy books, by the way. I've only read about 7 of them, I believe. There was the original Dragons of the Seasons. Autumn, what was it called? There was Autumn Twilight, Winter Whatever, Spring Dawning, and Summer Flame. And there was a spin-off series with two of the best characters, the mage Raistlin, I can't remember his name, and his brother Caramon, who were twin brothers, but they differed very greatly. One was a mage, the other one was a warrior, right? Kind of an interesting combo. But yeah, I read that and I love the book series, although I can't for the life of me remember what happened. I remember there was an animated movie of Dragonlance, and the first movie, they only made one, and it was so bad. Like, they never made any others. They never continued the pursuit, which was kind of sad because if it was a good movie, I would have loved the whole series, right? I keep getting off topic here. So anyway, so when I first discovered the furry fandom, right, one of the first websites I ever encountered on the internet was called Fur Affinity. Now, personally, I didn't know Fur Affinity had an NSFW part. You had to make an account and disable the filter, right? But when I first discovered the furry fandom in terms of artwork, I realized that people were dressing up as their characters. It weirded me out at first. I will not lie. It weirded me out. It's kind of those things where you, like, you're not expecting it, and you're like, whoa, what the heck is this? But the more I looked at it, the more I got more curious, and I'm like, I wonder if there's more dragon designs on here. And sure enough, there were. Right? And some of the designs, you know, were really good. Others were kind of, hot. So, you know, I went to the Marines in 2004, right? And that'll be another topic, by the way. So I went to the Marines. I recall getting into the artwork to the point where before my first deployment, I would actually put all of these pictures I could on my device, right? Anything I liked, I'd save it and put it on my device so I could look at it later. And I remember, because back then, like, internet overseas especially, you had nothing. So you had to do as much as you can beforehand. I remember putting these pictures on my Microsoft Zune MP3 player. Yeah, I had a Zune. Yes, I owned one. Sue me. And I remember looking at these images as I'm going through these security convoys and all that, you know, once in a while when I can have some downtime. And I'm looking at these pictures, and I'm like, man, these are really good. And I'm like, but I didn't want anybody to know, because if you're in the service and people find out that you're into that stuff, they're going to heckle you they're going to heckle you forever, right? Because the Marines are not exactly tolerable of certain things, because, I mean, no offense, I was in the service myself. We basically get people who are from the boondocks, right? We get people from the country. We get them from everywhere, right? And people are generally going to make fun of you for anything you like. If you are too much into video games or whatever, some people are not going to like that. Video games are more acceptable in the military, but if they find out that you're a furry and all that stuff, or you're into that artwork, or worst case scenario, if someone is discovered to like My Little Pony, right? Oh my God, they're going to go... into this mode where it's like, oh, he likes My Little Pony. Well, he's a target. So, but fortunately, I don't think anybody knows that I was a furry. I don't think anybody in the service knows. They might, but I don't know. They might be accepting of it. They might hate me even more now, but who cares, right? Because I'm a civilian now, so their opinion doesn't matter to me anymore. There were some interesting characters in the service, which, again, I'll get into in another podcast. So, once again, to kind of stop the subject a little bit, I'm not the best talker in the world. I will mess up. I will stutter once in a while. But the fact is that I'm out here. I'm out here displaying my opinion. I've got nothing to lose, right? I make a few episodes, right? Not many people do this. Some people are afraid of talking and expressing their opinions. And, I mean, I understand that. But while I may not be the best in terms of discussing certain subjects, I am still doing it because I'm not afraid. And that's something that I encourage others to do as well. So continuing on, after I got out of the military, I really didn't get myself into the fandom directly until around 2012. So yeah, and I made my first character. So I've been a furry for about 10 years now. 10 years, just about. That's crazy to think about that. Time went by really quick. Now, I'm still not very knowledgeable on people's names, you know, all of the artists, all the fursuit makers. I'm getting more experience with it. I'm trying to figure out certain things about the fandom in terms of what they do, right? I'm into the fandom. I have my own character and artwork. I'm just not directly, like, exploring every facet of the fandom itself, right? In terms of everybody's names and all that stuff. But I established my character. His name is Rugged, right? I established him long ago. I remember seeing an image of a dragon, muscular, and I'm thinking to myself, I need my character to look like that. Now, a lot of people's personas reflect upon them, either entirely or somewhat to a degree, right? My character, in terms of physical appearance, does not match me, right? My character is 7'4". He weighs 1,000 pounds. He's muscular. Me, I'm only 5'7". I'm kind of chubby. I'm not muscular. But I make the character like that because I like the design of it. In terms of personal interests and attitudes, our characters are very similar. You know, I make a lot of jokes, so does my character. I act derpy, so does my character. I rage, my character does that too. I'm not very proud of it. That's something I wish I could fix. I really need to take... I should probably... If I had money, I should probably take courses on how to stop your anger, right? I started to try to do that, right? And one thing I remember... I got angry at work the other day, right? And you know what I did? I was practicing on my breathing. I was just taking deep breaths very slowly. It worked. I'm surprised. So I should be doing that more often. Because... It's something I'm not proud of, because every time I stream, once in a while, I do get angry at games and other things, and I need to control that. That's something that happens that I'm not proud of. I have a big temper. I need to stop that. I don't know what it is. It's probably through life itself. I just need to be more positive in what I do, right? Sometimes I get frustrated to the point where I just give up, right? And it's not permanent. It's temporary, but it's one of those things. It's one of those moments where you get angry and you're like, I'm done. Screw this. I'm going home, you know. But anyway, so my character, obviously, he's an anthropomorphic dragon. He's also been drawn in other forms, right? He's been a cat. He's been a boo ghost. He's even been a character design called what I call a bean. A bean is basically my character in feral form, but he is much smaller, chunkier, with shorter legs, right? Hence, like, you know, he's like a cute little bean. That's what you call him, like a little nickname, right? He squeezes cheeks and all that, and he's so cute. I had a picture drawn of him. The first image and concept of a bean character was by one of my friends, Mina Rabbit. She drew a bean character, which is like mostly round character with the stubby legs, as I mentioned before, right? And I love the design. So I got another artist. Her name was Cherry Kitty Cupcake to draw my character as a bean as well. And oh my god, the cutest little thing. I wish I could show you guys, but some of you might be listening on Spotify or maybe on YouTube one day. I'll be uploading these videos on YouTube eventually, right? It's the cutest design you'll ever see. And unfortunately, Cherry Kitty Cupcake is closed for commissions as of this recording on the 8th of February, but she'll be back, and I want to get more of them because they're so adorable. I will pay all the money in the world just to get more of them. But Rugged, in terms of his personality and traits, while he is big in terms of height, he's strong, he has wings, but here's the funny thing. Unlike other dragons, he doesn't hoard treasure. He's scared of heights. He can't breathe fire. It's not because he never learned, it's because he just can't. Some people might call it a disability, but that's just the way he was, right? His weakness is food, specifically pizza. You're watching the live stream right now, you can see all the stuff in front of me. And yeah, that's my weakness. He is a very nice dragon. He is not prone to anger, although sometimes he can be, once in a while, he can get very upset. But for the most part, he's very adorable. Don't be afraid of him, by the way. Just approach him and say hi, and he'll say hi back, you know? He's tall. He's intimidating. Some people find that hot and sexy, but, I mean, to each their own. yeah, he's, like I said, he's a cool design. Very simple design. He's not, I don't have a lot of complex characteristics on my body. I don't have, like, extremely complicated coloring or patterns or anything like that. I just have a few horns on my head, little tiny side horns on my head, wings, and two primary colors, which I looked them up, by the way. I believe the darker color of my character's skin is a... I forgot what it was called. I think it was called East Bay. And the lighter tone is called Wild Blue Yonder. I know, artist terms, right? You can't just say blue or light blue, right? It's got to be specific terms, right? And that's just the way my character is. He's pretty cool looking. I mean, he's, like I say, he's basic. But it's good for artists because you don't have to spend 2 hours on certain designs. So, after I created my character in 2012, his design started off a little different. Like, he didn't have wings initially, mainly because I actually forgot to tell the person that he has wings. The only other change my character made besides adding wings were his horns. Now, he had more spikes along the back of his head, like directly in the back. That kind of went away after a while because I figured, you know, make it more simple. He's got too many horns in his head. So, that design was officially finalized around that year, 2012, 2013. He hasn't changed since. A lot of people make changes on their character quite often, or make other characters in general, but I have not. I've stuck with this character for a very long time, and I haven't changed him one bit. Now, here's something that most people probably don't even know. Back in 2013 or 14, around there, I had considered, just in my head, I was considering possibly making another character, right? Making another one. I was going to make this character a black bat, a flying fox specifically. He was going to be smaller. He was going to be cuter. He was just going to be more shy than my character ever was, right? That was my original idea. He was going to be mostly like a black fur, everything like that. Maybe his wings were kind of like attached to his arms, but he has like normal hands and everything. He was going to be so adorable. But I said to myself, I mean, having two characters would be interesting, but at the same time, it'd be very expensive because then I have to start getting artwork with that character in here and it's going to be more expensive. It's like doubling up. So I just decided to just keep it simple, have one character only, right? So I'm pretty sure, but there are other people out there who make characters all the time. They'll be like, next week, be like, you know, I got this shark character. Let me make a red panda. Then next week after that, let me make a horse character. Next week after that, let me make this character, right? And they have enough funds for these characters in terms of artwork, and that's fine, you know? If they have the financial stability to pay for artwork and also have a fursuit, good on them, right? I support them 100%. But me, no, I can't really do that. So, now, there have been people who make criticisms of my design. That's going to happen. You're going to have people going, why is your character too tall? Oh, he's too muscular. Oh, he's like this and that. And that's not going to happen in real life. That's going to be terrible. Like, don't ignore those people, right? I hate people who do that. If they want to leave feedback on your character, it's acceptable if you ask them first. If I don't like a design of my character or I really wanted something changed, I'll ask. But until then, if you see a character design out there, keep it to yourself. If you don't like something, just don't blurt it out and say, I don't like this character. Or your character design's terrible or, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, don't do that. It's very rude. Now, I will show some concerns if a character is being sexualized that shouldn't be, like something that's underaged or whatever. That's when I say, I would suggest not doing that. The nicest way possible to say it. But again, don't criticize people of their characters. So, anyway. So I made a lot of friends along the way. Some good, some bad. There's always been good moments with, you know, furry positivity. There's other moments where there's the llama drama being dragged into every subject. That happens all the time, right? I made mistakes. We all make mistakes. We learn from it and we carry on, right? But that, again, that will be part of another episode later on. But I remember making some really good friends to the point where we decided to go on our first convention. Well, at least my first convention, right? It's been a long time in the making, but in 2019, my friends and I, we planned a trip to go to Pittsburgh for, what was it called again? I forgot, brain fart. AnthroCon 2019, right? So we said to ourselves, okay, well, we got a hotel here. It's not directly at the event, but it's close by. So we got our rooms. We split the funds, you know, $200-something per person, whatever. And yeah, I took a train. No, it wasn't a train. It was I took a bus, right? It was cheaper. It's like a 4-hour drive, right? Oh, man. So I'm not going to specifically tell you where I live, obviously. So somewhere in New Jersey, got to a bus stop, went from there. We stopped by in Pennsylvania and Harrisburg, right? And I noticed more people getting on. I said to myself, these other people have to be furries. So, and near the end of the trip, it was so nice because I had a bunch of people in the back of the bus talking about, like, anime and all that stuff. And I joined in on the conversation, too. We were having so much fun. And I said to myself, man, I can't wait to get here. So I finally arrive, hot as anything, by the way. I don't know how people fursuit in this temperature. We finally get to the room. We settle down and everything. We went to our first convention. It was definitely interesting. There was a huge, huge, huge area called the Dealer's Den. You spend a little bit more money on your ticket, and you can explore other artists making their work. They're the work, right? They're not, like, it's good to be there at a convention, but they're mostly there to advertise their artwork. You can ask them for a commission on the spot and they'll give it to you. And it's a pretty amazing experience overall. And I met some other friends that were in the fursuit. So somewhere in Jersey, I have to travel all the way there. There is a, what they call a fur meet. Is it called a fur meet or whatever? It's somewhere in South Jersey. Somewhere there, you know, go all the way down there to bowl, right? And there's a bunch of furries there that come down there too. One of my friends, his name escapes me right now. I apologize, but he recently got a fursuit, and I saw him at the con, and I said, "Hey, remember me? We went bowling." And he goes, "Oh," and we started hugging and everything. It was great. You know, it was awkward at first to see people in fursuits, right? But now that you actually know who they are and you kind of get used to them, you just, oh man. Now, just a little rule here. Don't hug somebody unless you ask permission, because there are people out there who don't like to be hugged directly. Like, cause you don't, it's still like, even though hugging is very common in the furry community, it's still something you need to ask permission for. Right. And, you know, that's just a rule of thumb. So I go around and I'm looking at these fursuits and I'm like, oh my gosh, look at these fursuits. And I remember seeing one fursuit. It was so amazing. I have to, like, the name escapes me right now. But I remember there was one fursuit where this person had this blue character, but the hips were so thick. And I'm like, what kind of design is this? And I thought it was very interesting. So I tweeted out saying, whose character design is this? Who does this suit belong to? Whatever, right? And eventually they did tell me. I forgot the name of the character. The character's design name escapes me. But some of the way they do these fursuits is amazing, right? And I remember going around the Dealer's Den. There was one artist that caught my attention and I had to write their names down. Name was Savage Shark. And I've had one commission done already from this artist. But I saw the artwork and I met this person and I'm like, wow, this is so amazing, right? And like, it's so amazing that you meet them and you see their work at hand, right? And then finally, I got a commission from this artist. Great artist, by the way. Savage Shark, amazing. Little shout out to you. At Savage Shark, all one word, by the way. Check out their art. It's amazing. So, while we're at the FurCon, I think the only bad thing about the FurCon itself was that it was just too hot. It was way too hot. I was always sticky. The FurryCon itself can be a little crowded. You know, if you're that kind of person who doesn't like large crowds, it's something you definitely don't want to be in. But if you like crowds, it's good. It's not that crowded to the point where it's like shoulder to shoulder, but there are a lot of people there. And the only problem is that if you don't know the entire fandom, you might miss out on a lot of things. Now, our biggest mistake was not making a schedule of what we wanted to do, right? We mostly just went there and went to the dealer's den, and that was it. We should have looked at the schedule to figure out what we could do and plan for that day. I missed the panel featuring Ben Diskin. For those who don't know, there was a show called Aggretsuko on Netflix. And this guy plays the voice of Haida, the hyena. And he actually had a fursuit, so to speak, of that character. And I said to myself, I should have been there. I should have been there. I also caught the end of a dance competition. I saw the furry parade, which is interesting. Although, again, I can't believe that they would go through this heat just to do it. But if they're that dedicated, you know, more power to them. But overall, it was a great convention. But I think one of the best things, not relating to the convention itself. So my friends and I, we went to a place in Pittsburgh. We wanted a place to eat. And they said, I got the best place. It was a taco Mexican restaurant called Candados. Candados Tacos? Oh my god. Oh, the best taco restaurant I've ever been to in my life. So, we started off. I wanted to be nice, so I got everyone an appetizer. I got some nachos with white cheese or queso blanco. Best cheese sauce I've ever tasted. Oh my god. Nothing comes close to it. And then we got to customize our tacos, right? You could basically make anything you want, right? I had myself a couple of hard and soft tacos with grilled chicken, cheese, and bacon. Yes, bacon. And I had this. And, oh, so amazing. Oh, I just want to go back to Pittsburgh just to go to that restaurant again. It was so good. So, the worst part about the convention overall is having to say goodbye and go back to your lives, because the convention's over. You know, you got to say goodbye to your friends. You got to say goodbye to people you met. And you just can't. You know, you just want to stay there forever because you just feel so happy to be there. But, you know, everything has their goodbyes. Everything has their hellos. But hey, there's always another year. Well, we didn't know that the COVID-19 was going to happen. So everyone's kind of bummed out because they're not going to conventions. For the past 2 years, we've been quarantined, keeping our masks on, staying 6 feet apart, getting our vaccinations, our booster shots. Little PSA, if you haven't gotten your vaccine, get it. If you haven't gotten your booster shot, get it. They're very safe. Keep yourself safe from the Keep yourself safe from the virus. Keep yourself safe by getting the vaccines and the boosters. Sorry if my words are a little jumbled here and there. Like I said, not the best speaker. But again, like I said, PSA, get yourself vaccinated and keep yourself safe from the virus. And hopefully this whole thing will blow over in the near future. Here's hoping, right? So, yeah. Aside conventions and meetups, right? The next thing I want to do with my character in terms of the furry fandom is to establish myself as a 3D avatar, right? I'm still planning on it. I have my sights set for an artist. I have it. I just haven't asked yet. And I will eventually. It will be costly, but I think it'll be worth it in the end. So, for those who don't know, there is this game called VR Chat. I'm pretty sure everyone heard of it by now. You basically go in with a VR headset or not. Depends on what you want to do. It's more interactive with a VR headset. You have a character. You walk in. You interact with other people. It's kind of like a social space, but it's on the internet, right? You could do almost anything you want. You could play pool. Like, I want to play pool. I want to play darts or whatever. But you could just sit around and talk with other people in person. Well, not in person. Their avatars are there. Feels like you're in person with somebody else. I want to have my character custom designed to be in that game. And not only just for that, but for future live streams, I want to have my character displayed fully 3D and very expressive. So that's actually what furry conventions have been doing recently. Since we can't go out and meet each other because of risk of getting infected by the COVID-19 variant or variants that are coming out, people have been going online for VR chats. They have virtual conventions so that you can interact with people without getting sick from the COVID-19. I think that's a good idea. Personally, I would want to do that too, and I really need to ask. Custom models can vary in price, but some talented 3D artists will charge you up to, $600? Maybe way more than that. Maybe $1,000, depending on who you're getting the work from and how complex your character design is or what additions you want on it. But I'm willing to spend that for my character because I think it would make my live streams a little bit more enjoyable, along with getting more into VR chat, right? That is my future. That's not set in stone, but I want it to be. And it's going to happen eventually. I just got to get off my butt and actually ask. So overall, being in the furry fandom has had its up and downs, right? Mostly it's been positive, right? Gotten artwork. I've met a lot of friends. I've experienced things I've never experienced before. Downsides that there's always going to be drama. You know, within every fandom, there's always going to be those certain people that are going to be very toxic, right? That happens every time. Don't let that discourage you from being in the furry fandom. Be careful of what you do. Be careful of what you say. But most importantly, always be positive, right? Always try to reach out for what's good. And try not to concentrate on what is bad. Because the more you concentrate on what is bad, the more bad things happen, right? The more bad things you see. I have that fault where I do get into drama, right? And the more drama I see, the more I feel like I'm always encased in it, right? But there are some positive moments here and there. Like somebody makes a good character. They share good artwork. And it really makes me happy watching people's live streams, you know. Furry live streamers, there are a couple I know, like Fusano, The Art Wolf. There's so many other characters, so many more. If I'm not mentioning you and you're listening to this, I apologize. Because naming streamers off the top of my head is, it's kind of difficult. But, you know, there's a bunch of streamers out there, right? There are a lot of furry streamers out there. So if you ever want to find them on Twitch, just go to browse and type in the furry tag itself. Make sure they are completely furry. Because there are some people who will actually exploit that. there's so many. There's so many. There's Lumatrick. Corey Coyote is amazing as well, but he's more of a YouTuber, to be honest. I'm just looking at the names right now. There's Scribbly Noodle, Trevor the Hiregal. There's so many more. Dragonator. Buff Pup is crazy on Twitter. She's amazing as well. Space Yeen, definitely a really good one. Tristan the Dino. Silta Gamer. Silta_Gamer. I'm just shouting you guys out because you're amazing. Biff the Moose. You got Diffuse Moose. Kitlock. Eviscerator MK2. Some of these are personal friends of mine who come into my streams as well. Other ones are very popular characters, but overall, like I said, there's so many people out there that you really need to check out on Twitch because there's a lot of good streamers out there. But anywho, like I said, it would be nice to have more interactions with other people. Like I'll usually go on Twitter and try to ask people what their opinion is with certain subjects, right? And I'll read them out loud. As long as they're safe for work, or as long as they pertain directly to the topic, right? So, again, I'm pretty much going to end this episode soon, but like I said, if you ever want to discuss anything with future episodes, right, I will always post on Twitter and on my Discord server as well, right? So if you ever want to interact, go on my Twitter and respond to me, right? You can also go on to my Discord server under podcast discussion and give your responses on there as well. I encourage you. I heavily encourage you. If you want to talk directly to me in voice chat, let me know as well. We can actually establish an episode where we both have a discussion back and forth about certain topics. So I really want that to happen in the future. Like I said, these first three episodes have been a little lonely, but who knows? In the future, as the more and more I make episodes, the more popular I may get. It may happen, it may not. So, Trunks10x question. What should I try first? Pizza or mac and cheese? Well, I definitely have to say pizza. However, on certain days, I don't really eat macaroni and cheese. I eat shells and cheese, Velveeta specifically. Get some little bacon chips in there. Oh, it's so good. The only problem is that I usually get the box. I like to share it with other people, but sometimes there are days where it's like, hey, does anyone want to sell shells and cheese? And they'll be like, nah, we're good. And I'm like, but I don't like reheating macaroni. I have to eat the whole box to myself. And why? Oh, one other streamer I should shout out. Squid Launcher. Squid Launcher is also amazing. We also have Achi the Red Panda. Very cute character. Very adorable. Oh, I should also talk about artists, right? My favorite artist in the furry fandom, right? Before we go. One of my first artists that basically established my character design, and I apologize to him because of my nature of requesting so many changes, right? But one of my favorite artists, his name is Metal, or he used to be referred to as Metal Kitty, right? Metal has been an artist for a very, very long time. He's been on Fur Affinity since 2005, right? And his art is amazing. He's had many character design changes, but he's the one who mainly established my character in terms of the way he looks, the way he is today. So I give a big thank you to him. So once again, Metal Kitty, or Metal. I usually get referred to him as. He's a cute little kitty cat. He loves hugs, by the way. He loves you. He loves it when you squeeze him so much that you crush his spine, basically. I'm kidding. He's adorable, though. Very talented artist. He's been doing it for many years. His style has changed throughout the years, and it just keeps getting better and better. His true sense of style never changes, but the way he does the artwork has greatly improved. So, again, I'll have to mention him directly on Twitter, you know, and all that stuff. Give him a little shout-out, so lets him know that I'm very thankful for what he's done. A lot of people have. You know, artists out there, they do a wonderful, fantastic job. And it's so amazing that they spend so much of this time working very hard. It's not easy. I can't understand how they feel at times because I'm not an artist myself. I know it's hard, painstaking work. But my opinion is that they are doing wonders. Pure wonders, right? And I can't thank them enough, right? So in my chat, think about plain cheese pizza with stuffed crust. Hell yes. Stuffed crust. Whoever stuffed crust is. Whoever came up with stuffed crust, I officially want to go to bed with you right now. I'm not okay. That's a little, yeah, but anyway. But yeah, Squid Launcher, oh yes, definitely. There's a lot of streamers out there, right? I can't name them all, but again, it's like I said, being a streamer also has some frustrations as well, because you have to schedule that along with your full-time job. It's, you know, it can be demanding, but overall, if it's something that you really enjoy, do it. Keep doing it. But anywho, I think I'm going to call it for today. Had a good episode, a lot better than my last attempt. This episode should have been out last week, but because I have a part-time job, it's almost full-time. Pretty much is full-time, because there's a lot of days where I get overtime anyway, so But yeah, 12-hour shifts can take a lot out of you, but at least I got my 4 days off now. Well, it used to be 3 days because of overtime, but now it's four. I mean, that's more than what people are. 4 days off in a row is really nice, but those 3 days you're working 12-hour shifts, whoo, it can take a lot out of you. But anywho, I will continue the next topic. I will let people know what it is on Twitter as well as my Discord server. So again, if you want to join me in my discussions, let me know. If you want to ask me questions, do so. Go on my Twitter at RuggedTheDragon, all one word. And you can also join my Discord server. I will leave all of the links in the episodes on Spotify, all the links on YouTube if I ever should upload videos on there as well. But and also on Twitch as well. You know, you got my Twitch here. My Twitch is also RuggedTheDragon, all one word. Very easy. And like I said, during these episodes, notifications will be turned off so that they don't interrupt the chat or blare people's ears out, like blow their eardrums out. But I appreciate all the support everyone has given me so far. Like I said, I come into these episodes, I'm not the best talker, everything's unscripted, but I do my best. So in the meantime, I'm going to say to everybody, have a good night, stay furry, stay ooh-woo, be cringe, whatever you want to do, whatever makes you happy. And I'll see you guys sometime next week with another discussion again. I don't know what I'm going to be talking about, so I will keep you all guys updated. Guys and gals updated, whatever you identify by. But anywho, that's the end of the episode. I hope you had fun listening to the podcast episode. And I will see you guys again. Have a good night, everybody.